Everyone, welcome. We're glad to have you with us. You'll come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. Sure, it's good to see those who have been sick and some that have been out for some time. Joanne Sandlin is back with us today. And when I would call Joanne, she would always tell me, "Brother Guy," she said, "I'm really looking forward to being back with my brothers and sisters in Christ." She missed us, and we've missed her, and we're glad she can be here today with us, along with all the others. And she hadn't sung "God is so good" for some months now, so why don't we all stand up and sing that song together, okay? If you can't stand, just sit. Stand up if you can. If you can't, that's fine. God is so good, everybody. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. He's so real to me. What does he do? He saved my soul. Everybody. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. And he made me whole. What will we do? I praise his name. I praise his name. I praise his name. He's so good to me. Please be seated. As I mentioned before, we're going to study today on prayer and providence of God. Beautiful pictures depicting the beauty of God. How great it is to be able to see the beautiful flowers and all that God has made. No wonder the Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth this the future of God, rather, demonstrateth his love toward us. The Bible tells us and emphasizes over and over the beauty and wonderfulness of God. Two things that are so important to understand about Jehovah, and that is, what does he tell us about praying to him? And what about his providence? What about the providence of Jehovah God? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Just stop and think about that. The question is asked by Paul as he's writing to the Romans. If God be for us, who then can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Those who are God's people, those who are in Jesus Christ. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us, therefore, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things, we who are united with Christ, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Paul is writing to Christians. He's writing to those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who have hope. Those who are living in hope. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, look at it, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's Paul saying? Who should separate us? No one. Why? Because in Christ, we can do all things. In Philippians 4, we find that the Bible tells us about the emphasis placed upon the unity of God. There's one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. That's it. And then you read in Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's not me. It's the strength that Christ gives me. Why? Because when you're united with Christ, nothing can separate you from the love of God. There are some things that are universally applicable. For example, in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, and we're seeing this right now when the buttercups that Joyce gave us, and we put them out. Boy, those Joyce, this year, they're just really thick and blooming so pretty. I love daffodils or buttercups. I like the term buttercups. The buttercups, beautiful yellow buttercups. There is a promise that God has made to everybody. It's universal. In the Bible, we read in Genesis 8, verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. That's applicable to everybody. What a beautiful picture. A picture of God, His creation, and the manifestation of His promise that He's made, seed time and harvest. And then when you look at the wonderfulness of God's creation, the storms that come for a reason, God is over all. He is in control of all. You see in the fall, in the wintertime, again, the promises God has made, seed time and harvest. Cold and summer. Day and night. It shall not cease. It will not. Why? Because God, through His providence, through His laws, has given us this wonderful blessing for all. What is prayer? Prayer can be defined as a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God. How many of you have prayed already today? Just being at the hospital earlier this morning, praying with loved ones and praying with people that just lost a loved one. What a wonderful, great, and wonderful, marvelous thing it is to know that we can go before God in prayer. And so much is said in the Bible about prayer. There's a man named Daniel. Daniel was a man who was a man of prayer. Even though it was told him not to pray, he did anyway. Why? He believed in prayer. Daniel 6 and verse 10. There was Hannah. Hannah was a woman that did not have a child. She wanted a baby so badly. And she prayed to God. And you remember in 1 Samuel chapter 1, 11 through 18, when Eli determined why she was praying, he said it would be granted, and it was. There's Solomon. Solomon, great king. He needs help. He needs strength. But he needs wisdom. And God in a dream in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 15, he told Solomon to choose anything that he wanted, that he'd give it to him. And then it was Solomon who said, give me wisdom that I might be able to judge this so great a people. Prayer. Let me tell you, my friend, there's just not anything comparable. Being able to know that you can go to God in prayer. There was Jesus Himself, and Jonah rather, in the prayer as he was in the big fish. And he prayed to God. He was delivered. And then Jesus, when he was praying for unity, prayed for all. And he said, neither do I pray for these alone, but for all that believe in me, that they all might be one, even as thou art, Father, in me. He's praying. Prayer is talking to God. What a wonderful blessing it is. Remember, Those who are God's people can pray through Jesus Christ because they are in Christ Jesus. You remember how the Bible tells us that if a man sins, in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot hear or save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. When you lead a life that is rebellious to God, you will not have your prayers heard. You want your prayers heard. You want to be like a Daniel, though he was thrown into the lion's den. He was delivered. God heard him. Hannah, she wanted a child. God heard it. A child was given her. Solomon, he wanted wisdom. And instead of Solomon, there was no one that was wiser than him on the earth at that time. Jonah was in the depth of the big fish. And Jonah wanted to be delivered. And Jonah prayed. Jesus, knowing how important unity is among his disciples, prayed. And that has become a reality. Because when God's people walk together, serve the Lord together, they are a pleasant thing before God. Some things happen to all of us, whether good or bad. And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Don't do that. That's not what I'm talking about. But I say to you, what do you say, Lord? I want my people to be different from that. I want you, my disciples, to be different. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. What? I want you to have a completely different relationship. The people that don't like you, pray for them. Love them. The people who hate you, love them. The people that despitefully use you and that would even persecute you, ask God's great blessings to be upon them, to help them to see. And then he says, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. That's how we are as God. Whenever we can love people that don't love us, whenever those that hate us, despise us, we show them. We don't do that to them. And look what he says. He says, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. The sun where? It's everywhere. Whether they're good or bad. And sendeth rain. Rain on the just and on the unjust. And then Jesus tells you why. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, that is, do like your Father. Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, he loves those that hate him. He's not willing that a single soul be lost. He wants the gospel to be preached to those that are lost. Because he wants those that are lost to be saved through his Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, the sun and the rain, it comes upon all. And what a wonderful thing it is. Now, when you look at providence then, and Homer Haley, I think, has an excellent definition of providence. When he says providence is the working of God through his provision in the natural and spiritual realms. And yet it is a control that violates neither the sovereignty of the human will nor the divine nature or natural and spiritual law. What is providence? Providence is defined in the dictionary as the care of benevolent guidance and benevolence of God. That's what we believe in. Why? Because God is working for us. When we pray, God with the natural laws can bring about the providence and make our prayers to be fulfilled and answered. God created a universe that he could control for his own purpose. And let's face it, he's still in complete control. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things. And in Him, all things consist. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. There's the evidence. What He's done. Where is He? Still in control. What is He doing? He's working out things that are good for us. All through all the seasons. The beauty of the earth. The promises that have been made. Yes, they're all from the hand of God. And our need is to remember we can pray as God's people. We can ask God to bless us. And then we can be assured that God's providence, His love and care for us is real and is applicable to those who love the Lord. Sometimes we get full of anxiety. I don't know about you. Maybe we could call worry. You ever worry about stuff? Maybe as worry or anxiety is defined, it's a feeling of worry or nervousness or unease. Typically about an imminent event or something that with an uncertain outcome. Mark was telling me about our granddaughter, Sarah Ann, at college at University of Alabama. And she, for some reason, just forgot about the fact that the professor told them on Friday they're going to have a test on Monday. And she said that she remembered it when she came in that Monday morning for the class. Boy, bless her heart, what would she do? Well, she's going to have to rely a lot upon the things that she'd already... And Mark said, she's going to probably get maybe a C or a D or something like that. Bless her heart, I think she came up with maybe a B+ or something like that. But it's just after she got there and she realized she had a test, she was so full of anxiety. Are we like that sometimes with things that are about to happen? I want to suggest to you this morning, there's anxiety about our children. I think about mine. I know you do too. About our grandchildren. About our spouses. About our jobs. About the country. About the Social Security checks. About our physical stature. About our health. About the age. About our hearing and sight and our walking. About weather, rainy, cloudy, snowy, storms, sunny. About our clothes, about our marriages, about our homes, yes, again, about our country. Full of anxiety. But you know what? When you read this book, two things are clear to us. Number one, we sure can pray. We can pray as God's people to Him and ask His help through all of them. And number two, we can trust in His providence that He will see us through it all. And no wonder then, David could say in Psalms 37, verse 25, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God has always provided generously for His people. In Matthew 6, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God knows what you need, and God is in control, and God can provide what you need because you can pray and ask and be assured in the providence of God. Even the birds and the lilies of the field, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet, what happens? God knows what they need. And yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. He does what? He takes care of even the birds of the air. Are you not much more than they are? And then he asks, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies. What's he saying? God's in control. God's going to help us. God will work out for our good all things that for those who love the Lord. Yes, God does care. It's not always easy to understand how God does things. But my friends, I want to suggest to you that God may be invisible to us, but He certainly is not inactive. He has not ceased to provide for that which He has created. It is God's provision that He has given to us. For example, the wicked enjoy the blessing as well as the righteous of marriage itself. In the very beginning, in Genesis 2, verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." God said, "I'm going to give you something that you need." And He made woman for it. What a blessing. And isn't it great to live in America? Silver government is provided by God. In Romans 13, 1 and 2, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive themselves damnation." And you know what? Some people just make it good in this whole life. Things just happen. I know of a man over in Madison that owns acres and acres right there on Highway 72. He won't sell it. And you know one of the things that he was asked, an old man now, and they said, "Why would you sell it? It's worth millions and millions of dollars." He said, "I never dreamed when I moved here on this farm that this farm and this land would be worth so much someday." And you know what? His answer was the same thing as God said. Some things just happen. We don't understand how. It's a different people. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11, "But time and chance happeneth to them all." We just put our confidence in God to help us. Special providence for God's children is seen that even though God's children will have financial hardship, sometimes there's illness, sometimes there are physical trials that they'll have to go through. Remember Job? Man has got prayer. Man has the promise that God will lead you and help you through it all. No wonder we read the Bible saying concerning our salvation in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." God is in control. Pray to Him. Believe Him. Trust Him. He's going to help His people. In Romans 8, verse 28, "For all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose." Don't ask me how He does it all. I can't tell you that. I know He does it because He said He would. His providence is around us and we see the manifestation of His goodness to us. And that's why we were singing a while ago, God is so good. How can a person that's sick or has people that are so sick, how can a person that's financial difficulties, maybe a job problem, how can a person who has a sick child or a sick mother or a sick father, how can they make it? God said, "I'll work it out for you. You trust me. Put your confidence in me. And it will be forthcoming." No wonder. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Someone wrote the following, "How would you know the Savior's words if you never felt pain? How would you know that He was a healer? If you never went through difficulty, how would you know that He's a deliverer. If you never had a trial, how would you know that He is a comforter? If you never made a mistake, how would you know that He is forgiving? If you know it all, would you know that Christ can answer all of your questions that you don't even have? If you never were in trouble, how would you know that God can rescue you and help you through it? If you never were broken, how would you know that God can make you whole? If you never had a problem, then how would you know that God can solve them all? If you never knew suffering, then how would you know what Christ went through? If you never went through the fire, then how would you become pure? If God gave you all things, how would you appreciate them? If God corrected you, how would you know that you're loved without that correction? If your life was perfect, then what would you need God for? No wonder Paul writes to these Roman brethren. And he says to them, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? And after mentioning a multitude of things, his conclusion, none, for I am persuaded, no matter what comes, that He will keep me. Why? Because of prayer. And because you know He's in complete control. If you're not a Christian, you're missing so much. Won't you become one this morning by believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus, and being baptized? If you're an erring child of God, won't you this morning ask God to forgive you and let us pray with you and for you? What a wonderful thing it is to be able to look forward to someday dying and being with the Lord. Are you ready? We know not when that shall come, but we know the promise that God has made is real, and He will be with us. If you're subject in any way, won't you come and obey Him while together we stand and watch.